For the rest, it meant pruning the American garden of racial weeds, defective germplasm, and other euphemisms for non-Aryan strains. Education, in the broadest sense, required getting the entire society to see the wisdom in this policy. Perhaps in a perfect world, the state wouldn't have to get involved. The breeding function of the family would be better discharged if public opinion and religion conspired to crush the aspirations of woman for a life of her own. But it was too late for such measures, so the state had to interfere. Ross was a showman, but his ideas fit squarely within the worldview of progressive economics on both sides of the Atlantic. Consider the debate over the minimum wage. The controversy centered on what to do about what Sidney Webb called the unemployable class. It was Webb's belief, shared by many of the progressive economists affiliated with the American Economic Association, that establishing a minimum wage above the value of the unemployable's worth would lock them out of the market, accelerating their elimination as a class. This is essentially the modern conservative argument against the minimum wage, and even today, when conservatives make it, they're accused of, you guessed it, social Darwinism. But for the progressives at the dawn of the fascist moment, this was an argument for it. Of all ways of dealing with these unfortunate parasites, Webb observed, the most ruinous to the community is to allow them unrestrainedly to compete as wage earners. Ross put it succinctly, the coolie cannot outdo the American, but he can underlive him. Since the inferior races were content to live closer to a filthy state of nature than the Nordic man, the savages did not require a civilized wage. Hence, if you raised minimum wages to a civilized level, employers wouldn't hire such miscreants in preference to fitter specimens, making them less likely to reproduce and, if necessary, easier targets for forced sterilization. Royal Meeker, a Princeton economist and advisor to Woodrow Wilson, explained, better that the state should support the inefficient wholly and prevent the multiplication of the breed than subsidize incompetence and unthrift, enabling them to bring forth more of their kind. Arguments like these turn modern liberal rationales for welfare state wage supports completely on their head. Few better epitomized the international nature of this progressive socialist nationalist consensus than the University of Wisconsin economist John R. Commons. Describing himself as a socialist, a single taxer, a free silverite, a greenbacker, a municipal onerist, a member of the Congressional Church, Commons was a lion of the international labor movement and dubbed the American Sidney Webb. His seminar room contained a giant chart that tracked the global success of progressive economics. Commons believed that many poor whites could be saved by government intervention and that they should receive the bounty of a lavishly generous welfare state.